Well, I hope you have a handout for this morning's lesson. This is our next lesson in the series of being strong in the last days. And we do live in challenging times, don't we? We certainly live in challenging times. And you know, the book of 1 Peter was written to Christians that were living in such times. And as we live in these days, we need what God gave to them just as much as He's given it to us in the book of 1 Peter. And we're looking at, in this term, in different areas that God wants us to be strong in so that we can live victoriously in the day we are in. So 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 to 16. And we'll just get straight into it this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13 says, "Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." Verse 14, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy." Well, as we've seen this term, the book of 1 Peter was written to Christians to help them live in victory in a very, very difficult day. Remember, they lived in a day where they were being severely persecuted, not only by the Jews that hated Christianity, but also the Roman Empire. And you remember Nero was notorious for persecuting the Jews. He blamed, the Christians. He blamed them for the fires in Rome that almost destroyed the city. The Christians became the scapegoats, and so they were looked down upon as some weird cult and some strange people that needed to be gotten rid of. These were suffering saints, and as we look into the book of 1 Peter, God gives us some wonderful helps to help us live in victory. Though we may not have are experiencing the same sort of persecution and suffering, we always come back to that verse where the Bible says, "If any man live godly in Christ Jesus, he shall suffer persecution." We will all suffer persecution one way or another, maybe at work, it may be at home, maybe among unsafe family or friends. We will suffer, especially because we live in a sin-cursed world, not only that is cursed by sin, but remember, we're living in the last days. That means over the age of man, sin will get worse and worse and worse right to the end. And we're living in those end times. So we need God's help, don't we, to live in victory. We have specific challenges in our time that no generation has ever faced in the way we've faced it. So we certainly need God's word to help us and to strengthen us. Now this morning's lesson is, we're continuing in this wonderful book from verses 13 to 16. And we're going to be learning about being strong in holiness. Being strong in holiness. And that's our lesson this morning. Now if you do need a handout sheet, we do have a few more on the table at the entrance. Our lesson sheets for this morning. So we're looking at being strong in holiness. Now that word holiness oftentimes comes to mind as a very strange thing to us sometimes as Christians. And in fact, many times as Christians, we think that to be holy and to be pure in the day in which we live is an impossible thing because the world is so wicked. You know, I was sitting on the plane yesterday coming back from Sydney, and we were all sitting in one row together. I was on the edge, and little Amy had fallen asleep in my arms, so I really couldn't do much. I couldn't do any work or anything. I just had to sit there, and I was listening to some preaching with my headphones on. And as I glanced across, this lady was reading one of those typical glossy ladies' women's magazines, and she opened it up to a page that although the pictures weren't pornographic, the content of the story was, and the article was. And you know, there's filth everywhere and you can't even sit down on a plane, and you, even there you need to avert your eyes and to watch out concerning what you look at. You know, there's pornography everywhere. It's become normal. People dress today as if they're stars in an adult movie. That's how people dress, wickedly and seducingly. You know, the Bible says in the book of Genesis, God gave us clothing as a what? As a covering. Today, clothing is used for what? It's used for a revealing. It's not used for a covering. And we live in a wicked day. And as Christians, once we get saved, God is on a mission to change us, to help us to become more like Christ, and to live in victory. But one area we need to certainly have help in is this area of holiness. You know, it's oftentimes we are discouraged about the impurity all around us. And we think to ourselves, how is it possible? Is it possible even to live holy in the day in which we live? And the good news is, the answer is yes. The answer is an absolute yes, because God's word never changes. And God's expectations are always the same. God declares here for us in these verses. I hope you can see them in your Bible or notes this morning. 1 Peter chapter 1, 13 to 16. God says we are to be holy. Verse 15. Now, when you think about holiness, think about the Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be holy? It simply means to be like the Lord. It means to be like Him. To be like the one who loves us and the one who has saved us. It is not you and I dressing up as a priest or a nun or trying to become some ultra weird religious person. No, we are to be like our Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be pure and clean in our daily lives. And when we are saved, Christ is on a mission to transform us. But how can we be holy in the day in which we live? Well, here we are going to learn some helpful truths to help us to have victory in this area of holiness that many of us struggle with. Notice verse number 13. God says in verse 13, Wherefore gird up the loins of your mind. So if we're going to understand how we can have victory in the day in which we live, we need to understand the importance of our mind. So your first blank there in your notes, the mind of the holy life. When God speaks about holiness, He pinpoints the importance of victory in the mind. We need to understand the importance of what takes place in our mind. You know, God places a lot of emphasis on the mind, but so often we don't think about it. And that's an ironical thing. You know, we have a mind, but we don't think about our mind. We don't think about what goes in and what is causing us to think impure thoughts and to live impurely. You know, our mind is like a sanctuary, if you will. It's a place that ought to be pure, and it has two gates, if you will. Two gates to this sanctuary, two entranceways. One is the ear gate, and by the way, we have two ears. As you've noticed, that means God wants us to listen more than He wants us to speak. I'll just throw that in as a freebie. But we have two ears, and that's a gate to our mind, isn't it? When we hear about filthy, wicked, ungodly things, those things corrupt our minds, don't they? You know, bickering and gossip and slander and cursing, and when people use the name of the Lord in a blasphemous way, you know, that's grievous to us as Christians. And you know, we have a gate, you know, which is our ear gate, that lets things into our mind. Then we have the eye gate, two eyes as well. And then it's a gate and an entranceway into the sanctuary of the mind, if you will. And what we see affects our thoughts. And God wants us to understand that this morning. He says, if you want to live victory in the day in which you live, if you want to live a life that overcomes the persecution and the persecution of sin around us, well, we need to understand the importance of the mind. And we need to ask ourselves, well, what are we letting in through the eye gate and the ear gate? What are we letting in through those gates into our mind? You see, our mind will affect the way we live. And God gives us some great help here. in the book of 1 Peter. Notice what he says in verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, this is a wonderful illustration in the Word of God. For those of you who already know it, God is giving us a very important picture of what many were familiar with in biblical days. Now, in Bible times, men wore long flowing robes that were garments that were ideal for the eastern climate in those biblical times. And they wore long flowing robes, and those robes were tied together at the waist by a girdle. And that's like a, well, I can't even say cummerbund because our young people won't even know what that is today. You know, it's like a thick belt that ties up that robe to stop it from opening up. So there was a robe which the men wore and a girdle around it, and that's what they wore in biblical times. Now, in order for that man to run or to move quickly, he'd have to gird up that robe. He'd have to pick up the robe. And what they did, they tucked it under, the long flowing robe, they tucked it under the girdle in the back and pulled it down, and that long flowing robe would become like long shorts, if you will, practically, to help them to run fast or to walk quickly. And that's what they did. They girded up the loins or the robe, and they tucked it into the girdle, and that's where that word comes from, to gird up, and that helped them to run. That helped them to move quickly. And God took that little picture, that illustration, and notice He applies it to our mind. And that's what we need to understand. What God is talking to us about, Christians, is we need to every day pick up all those dangling, loose, wrong, impure thoughts, and we need to deal with them so that you and I can run the Christian race, so that you and I can live in victory. Why so often do we fall and keep falling into temptation and keep falling into sin as Christians? And why so often are we consumed with worry and fear and lustful thoughts? It's because we've got all these thoughts hanging around our feet. They're dangling in our lives. They're left dangling because we're not dealing with them, you see. They're in our mind. We've looked at things we shouldn't have. We've listened to things we shouldn't have. We've been listening to the wrong kind of music that stirs up impure and sensual lusts, the music of the world and CCM music stirring up sinful appetites, and we're not dealing with it. It's just a weight around our legs. You know, the book of Hebrews says this. God says we need to, well, I'll get to that in a moment, but we need to deal with our minds. We need to deal with our minds and not let those thoughts stay there. That's what that simple truth means. That's a good little picture, isn't it? That long flowing robe tucked up, because you can't run with that robe on. You know, you'll trip, you'll fall over if you try and move quickly. It's going to limit you to what you can do. And the same thing applies to our Christian lives. We can't live pure, happy, joyful, free Christian lives unless we have victory in this area of holiness. Holiness leads to joy. God tells us. Holiness leads to freedom in our Christian lives. Freedom to live for God and to please God. But if our lives are reeking with sin and with impurity, we are going to be just weighed down, aren't we, in our Christian lives. And it begins here, in the mind of the holy life. The mind is the battle zone. There in your notes, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, notice there with me, it's at the bottom of Roman numeral number 1, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." What God wants to tell us here is that our battle as Christians is not a physical battle. We are not in a war with guns against the visible enemy. Our enemy is spiritual. Our enemy is spiritual. The devil himself is seeking to attack us, to cause us to be weighed down with sin, so that we won't be usable by God. What is the end result? The end result is souls going to hell. You see, God wants to fill your life up this month with so much sin, so there's so much guilt in your life that you won't hand someone an Easter invitation. You won't say, hey, Jesus is risen. Can I share with you how I got saved? You won't be a witness. You know, the number one reason God's people don't witness is because they're guilty about sin in their life. And they feel guilty, so guilty, they don't tell anyone about Christ. That's exactly what the devil wants to do in your life. That's exactly what he wants to do in my life. Our battle is spiritual. And it's right here in our mind. The thoughts we think, the things we see. Notice what 2 Corinthians tells us. The strongholds are like fortresses. They're like walls of a fortress being built up in our mind by wrong thoughts, by sinful viewing and things we've looked at. And they become strongholds, just patterns of wrong thinking perhaps, patterns of unbelief. And the devil builds up these strongholds in our mind, so we automatically think a certain way about sin that we shouldn't. We think that sin is not so bad because we've been conditioned to think that way, because we've been involved in that sin for so long. But thankfully, those strongholds can be cast down. But our battle is in the mind. That's where it is. But we don't think about that often, do we? We think that perhaps the battle is in other areas of our life, or maybe it's someone else's fault. But we often don't take an inventory about what have we been thinking about all day. You know, how many of us at the end of the day sit down and think, well, what have I been thinking about today? Has it been sinful? Has it been wicked? Have I confessed my thoughts? Have I cast down those thoughts? Have I spent time in God's Word and compared my thoughts to His thoughts? If His thoughts are other than my thoughts, well, I need to ask the Lord for forgiveness and put His thoughts into my head. Amen. I need to put it into His Word into my heart. David said, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so often our lives are just filled with the world. And sometimes, again, it's not our fault. You know, we walk out onto the street and you know, summertime, people just wear what they want and nothing at all. And walk around, and as men, you know, we need to guard our eyes and you know, there's just flesh everywhere. And we need to be careful about what we look at. And when wrong thoughts enter our mind, we need to cast them down quickly, because the Bible says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. See, there's a battle taking place against God in your mind and mine. And we need to gird up the loins of our mind. That means when as soon as a thought enters our mind that is dishonoring to God, we deal with it. We don't let it hang there for the rest of the day, for the rest of the week, for the rest of the month, for the rest of our lives. No, we need to deal with it. And if we don't deal with the wrong thinking, those thoughts, they will be a weight that will hold you and I back from running the Christian race in victory. In fact, the Bible says, book of Hebrews chapter 12, you can look it up later, looking unto Jesus, we need to keep our thoughts and our eyes on Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, and we need to continue to look to Him lest we be weary and faint in our minds. If we don't keep our eyes on Christ, if we allow the world to continue to just consume our thoughts and wicked thoughts, then you and I won't be able to run the Christian race and we will faint. Now, if you've ever fainted before, it's because you've been so weak, you can't stand anymore, and you've fallen over. You've blacked out. You've lost strength, and you've ended up on the ground. You know, it's a scary thing to faint, and then wake up and wonder what's happened. You know, many Christians live their lives that way. They're fainting. They're not strong. They're not living in victory. Why? Because our mind has been left undone. It's hanging. It's all these wrong thoughts are hanging around us and are a weight. We need to understand the importance of our minds, don't we? The Bible says, there in come with me in 1 Peter, back to our verses, they're in your notes also. It says, gird up the loins of your mind, deal with those thoughts straight away, confess them quote a verse of Scripture, cut it down with the sword of the Word of God, and it says, be sober. Be sober. Now, often when we think of the word sober, we think of alcohol. And yes, that's true. The word sober means to be in control. That is, have a clear mind. Now, you can't have a clear mind if you drink, because the purpose of alcohol is to cut off the connection between your thinking and your body and your actions. So that's what it does. It numbs the connecting receptors between your thoughts and your body. That's what alcohol does. It's a poison that enables you to stop thinking and keep feeling. So that is applicable to drinking as well. To be sober means to abstain. But when it comes to our Christian life and our thoughts, we need to keep a clear mind. We need to keep a clear pattern of thinking. And that's what the word means, to be sober. And it takes effort. It does take effort. It's going to take some effort, for example, for that man in biblical times to drag up those long flowing robes, to tuck it in, to make sure it's fastened so they can run. It's going to take some effort for you and I each day to do that in our minds, to deal with those thoughts, to not just let them hang there. If we realize those thoughts are there, don't let them stay there all day, amen? That's often what drags us down. And it is hard work. We are in a spiritual battle for souls, for the lost souls of mankind. That is what we need to keep in mind. If the devil stops us from running and living victoriously, he's going to stop us from being a witness and a light and a difference in this world. And the cost is the lost souls of mankind. As we fight the battle, God encourages us there in verse number 13. He says, and hope to the end, for the grace is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. How long will this battle last? Well, the Bible tells us it will last until Jesus comes again. Let me encourage you Christians, the Lord is coming. And He may come at any moment. The Bible says there's nothing left to be revealed before He comes, and we will be taken up to meet Him in the air if we're saved. So the good news is, yes, it is a spiritual battle each day. Yes, we do need to put in some effort, but thank God He's coming, and that a battle will suddenly be over. Let me encourage you to gird up the loins of your mind this week. Husbands and wives, you need to encourage one another to help each other in this area and to say, hey, that's not a thought from God. You know, that's not how God thinks. Let's share with each other what God says in His Word, amen. To cast down those wrong thoughts. To cast down, men, those lustful thoughts. When they come into your mind, and I believe the devil can put them in there, brethren, we need to confess that thought. You know, when we wake up and we've had wicked dreams, men, we need to confess those thoughts and say, Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse my mind. You know, that's what it's all about, girding up the loins of our mind. Confessing sinful thoughts, confessing wrong thoughts, confessing thoughts that are against God, you know, bickering, worry, anger, fear, lust, you know, oftentimes we're just consumed. And that's the pattern of our lives. We need to deal with them. We need to gird them up. Deal with those thoughts, brethren, so we can live for God. Are you girding up the loins of your mind? If we're going to live a holy life, we need to give more attention to what's happening here and what we let in. Amen? Some things need to be cut off in our lives because it's not worth it. Oh, Pastor, I need that TV. Well, what's it worth? Is it worth it? Is it worth it to have it connected to the cable that it's on? Nothing wrong with the screen and putting some DVDs in that are wholesome, that are biblical, that are encouraging. But if you've got that connected to the antenna on your roof, you're in big trouble, my friend, because you've got free access to filth. And we have a sinful, wicked flesh. You fill your mind up with enough of that perversity and you will be a failure in the Christian life, absolutely guaranteed. And you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ and you will stand ashamed before the Lord. That is the end of the Christian who lives burdened down and weighed down by impurity. That's why it's so important to gird up those loins, to deal with them, to deal with things that come in. What we see and what we hear. It's so important, brethren, to deal with our mind in order to live a holy life. Let me encourage you to take some steps this week. Take inventory. What's going in? Amen? take some steps in the right direction. What are we letting in? What's corrupting us? The manner of a holy life is Roman numeral number 2. And just quickly this morning, let me share with you what God says in verse number 14 and 15. He says, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be holy in all manner of conversation. So here we see the manner of a holy life. The word conversation at the end of verse 15 means our life, our entire life, behavior. It doesn't mean what we say alone, but it means our lifestyle, conversation. That's what the Bible word means. So God says, I want you to be holy in every area of your life. You know, sometimes we're experts in dealing with sin in one area, and thank God for that. But oftentimes it's true, isn't it? We've got other areas that are left undone, that are hanging there, and we've left them alone. We're not dealing with them. And God says, no, I want you to be holy in all manner of conversation, in every area of your life. And God reminds us here that He wants us to obey Him. He wants us to obey Him because He is the God that saved us. Once we were ignorant, the Bible tells us here, ignorant to the sin problem we had. But when, as Christians, once we're saved, God says, guess what? You are no longer ignorant. As Christians, we know what God thinks. We have an alarm system that's built in called the Holy Spirit of God. When you and I sin, that motion detecting alarm system detects the sin in our mind and in our life, just like this little alarm system at the back of the hall. If it's not turned off and someone walks in, off it goes. And home base the security home base is let know that there's an intruder in the building, and that security is going to rush out as soon as possible. And that's how we need to deal with sin, because we are not ignorant. When the Holy Spirit reminds us of sin in our life, we need to deal with it quickly, in all areas of our life, in all manner of conversation. Sometimes we have a hidden closet of sin. That closet needs to be emptied out. It needs to be girded up. It needs to be dealt with in all areas of our life. That is the manner of a holy life. And thank the Lord, we're not ignorant. Amen? Amen. We can now live a life that's pleasing to God. And by the way, not in order to get to heaven. Once we're saved, we live a life that's pleasing to God because we love Him. Because we're thankful for our salvation. That's the difference between religion and a true relationship with Jesus Christ. Because once you're genuinely saved, you want to live to please the one that saved you. Not out of guilt and fear of trying to get to heaven by your good works. That's religion. That is of the devil. But a true born-again relationship with Christ means you're already saved. And you want to live to please God. You want to live to love Him. That's why we should obey Him. You know, when God says as obedient children in verse 15, that ought to be a verse that we say, yes, Lord, I want to obey You. I'm thankful. I'm thankful that You saved me. You know, I'm thankful that You died on the cross to pay for my sins. Now remember, when it comes to the manner of a holy life, holiness, in fact, is more about what we put into our lives than what we take out. I know I've been talking about things that need to be dealt with, but oftentimes dealing with those wrong thoughts, those wrong actions, the wrong things we see and hear, oftentimes those are dealt with by putting the right things into our life, amen? By putting the right thoughts into our life. In order to be holy, we need to put the right thinking in, God's Word. We need to replace the world's ideas and philosophies and passions and dreams with God's vision and plan for your life, amen? The exciting will of God He has for you, that He wants to reveal in His Word to you. The plan and the purpose He has for your life, and the boldness and the strength and the supernatural work He wants to seek to give you to live in wonderful victory in the day in which we live. We need to put the right things in. Not just put the wrong things out. We need to put into our lives the things of the Lord. We need to separate from the world and separate unto God. See, it's no point just separating from the world. You're going to get sucked back into it unless you separate unto the Lord. That's what holiness means. Holiness is a separation from sin and a separation to the one who loved us, amen, the one who saved us, to the one who is with us each day, there by our side. Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And he's there to help us to have victory. But do we realize the manner of life that he wants us to live, that he's called us to live? What should be our motive? There in Roman number 3, the motive of the holy life. What should be our motive? Should we obey because we are worried that God's hammer of judgment will come down upon our heads? The Bible says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. You see, God tells us here in verse 16, what should the motive for you and I be to live a holy and pure life? Our motive should be the Lord. He is our motive. He is holy, so we ought to want to be like the one who loves us. You know, children, as they're growing up, they naturally want to be like their father, their mother, their parents, because the parents love them. They look up to them. They experience that loving relationship in a family. And just like the Christian life, when we're saved, we experience that overwhelming, overjoyful love of the one who loves us more than anyone else. And we ought to want to be holy because of his love, because of who he is in our lives. We ought to want to live for him and please him. Now, no one can force you to do what you don't want to do. And by the way, God is not going to force you to live a holy life. He won't. He will deal with us. He will help us. He will change us. But he's not going to force us to gird up the loins of our mind. We have to make choices in our daily life about what we let in into our minds. What is corrupting us? We have to make choices. And those choices will affect how we live and how we run. If something has challenged you this morning, amen, don't do it because pastor said so. You know, don't be a hypocrite. Many Christians are hypocrites because they're trying to live a pure life because they think that's the expectation of others. No, that's God's expectation, not mine. Amen. I need to gird up the loins of my mind just as much as you do. And we need to live victoriously together. But we have a God in heaven, and this is his expectation of us. Be holy, for I am holy. I wonder how much more God could be able to use us if we took the battle seriously that's taking place in our minds. I wonder if God would use us in a greater way, in a more evident way. The Bible says, let your light so shine before men. Are we shining brightly as Christians? Our theme this month is based upon Matthew chapter 5. You know, let your light so shine before men. You know, we are meant to be bright, shining Christians as a church. The book of the Revelation says we are like a candlestick that is meant to be shining brightly in this dark day in which we live. Are we shining? Well, we will. We will be different. We will make a difference if we live differently, amen? If we live holy and pure lives. So let me encourage you just to take this thought about your thoughts. Are they pure? How much of your thinking during the day is about the Lord? How much of it is about the world? How much of what you listen to is spiritually how much of it is spiritual sounds and spiritual music and spiritual words? How many of that is pleasing? How much of that is pleasing to the Lord? You know, if it's displeasing, you're sowing seeds of corruption in your life. And that's not good, brethren. We need to gird up the loins of our mind, and it will make a difference. Let me encourage you to try it. Start today. Take an inventory. Say, Lord, search my heart. Know my thoughts. Try me and know my ways. And see if there be any wicked thing in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. There's another way to walk. God has a victorious path for us to live. And when we walk that path, we will experience a victory in our lives. A victory that helps us to rise above the circumstances, the persecution, the sin of this world. Yes, it is possible. God says you can be holy. But we need to make some daily choices. Amen. Let's encourage one another as we run the Christian race. And I hope that some of these helps will be a blessing to you this week.